It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On September 5th, 1982, 12-year-old Johnny Gosch was delivering newspapers in West Des Moines when he disappeared. He was never found, but his mother never stopped searching for her son and for the truth about what happened to him. She also became an activist, advocating for missing children everywhere. The new documentary, Who Took Johnny, chronicles Noreen Gosch's 30-year search for her missing son and for justice. The documentary will make its Iowa debut on April 24th in Des Moines at the Fleur Cinema and Cafe. And Noreen Gosch is here with me today. Hello, Noreen.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Filmmaker Michael Galinsky, the man behind this documentary, is also with us today. Hello, Michael.
Hi. Thank you. Just to clarify, I'm only one of three of us who made it, but
All
I'm
right.
the one here talking today.
So, and Michael, tell me, 30 years after, it's now 32 years after Johnny Gosch disappeared, why make this movie?
Well, we tend to make films that are about people fighting for something they believe in against incredible odds. But we also tend to make films about stories that move through the world. And so they're viewed in different ways at different points in time. And for us, what was really interesting about this is, A, Noreen is a really powerful person and a powerful character. But there was also a ton of really good archival footage. So you could kind of get both the media perspective of what had happened as well as Noreen's story of how it had happened. And by kind of combining those two things, you get a much fuller picture of what took place.
How did you even become aware of the story of Johnny Gosch?
You know, I'm actually 46, so I'm the same age that Johnny would be. And so for me, it was a story that was kind of, I knew of it. But we had made another film called Horns and Halos about a discredited biography of George Bush that someone had republished. And at a screening of that, a writer named Nick Bryant came up to us and said, listen, if you think that's interesting, I have a story. And he had already spent several years working on a book about the Franklin scandal called The Franklin Scandal. And he wanted us to make a film with him about what that story was. And we spent several years trying to figure out how to do it, but it wasn't really the kind of movie that we tended to make. And we really couldn't figure out how to tell that story. But Johnny's story was kind of a satellite aspect of that, and Noreen was a good character to follow, and that's how it kind of developed into this movie.
All right, and many people listening are not going to understand what you mean when you say the Franklin scandal, so I know that it's a very complicated story, but in a nutshell, can you tell me what that is?
It was a financial situation in Omaha, Nebraska. It was a financial crime, but in looking into it, all these allegations of child trafficking came forth. And in the end, there was a big investigation, and it was called A Carefully Crafted Hoax. And that's what the book is about. But in the whole realm of allegations, one of the stories that came forward was that someone involved in that had been involved in the abduction of Johnny Gosch. And so that's how we came to make this movie.
All right. And Noreen, that is also a connection that you have made in your research, in your life. I mean, you have never stopped looking for your son.
That is true. And within the first couple of days, I knew that this was a new form of organized crime. My son was kidnapped, and there were a number of people that were involved that morning, and they had three vehicles involved. Average pedophiles who kidnap a child for their own pleasure do not involve that many vehicles or other people. And so we began that pursuit. We had five witnesses that morning that each saw a portion of the kidnapping. One of them was a 44-year-old attorney in West Des Moines who later became a judge. And they were all able to give information that helped us piece it together. And it became necessary to hire private investigators so that we had somebody working on the case all the time. And they discovered amazing information by going house to house and questioning people as to whether they saw or heard anything that morning. And there was one man up that hour, a few blocks away, and he saw the kidnap car pull up, and they unloaded a body into a van, and then they all took off. He kept calling the police to come to his house. He didn't know a kidnapping had taken place at that point, and no one came. until my private investigators knocked on his door a couple of weeks later. And when he opened the door, he thought it was police detectives. And he said, "Oh, thank God you're here." Well, then he explained what he saw, and they identified themselves as private investigators working for me. Well, that piece of information became critically important later on when a young man confessed to helping kidnap Johnny.
And that's Paul Benassi.
Mm-hmm. Paul Benassi. And when he came forward, he knew every piece of what happened, including where the van was parked, the color of the van, and what they did and what route they took out of Des Moines. And that was earth-shattering for us to come upon that piece of information and then years later have it fit into exactly what happened.
And Paul Benassi came forward in 1990, so that was 8 years after your son disappeared.
And he confessed to his attorney that he had been involved in Johnny's case. And then the attorney, John DeCamp, got a hold of us. And then it was, history after that, because then we pursued everything that Paul had to share with us.
I think it's important to say that you pursued that, your private investigators, the Johnny Gosch Foundation, people who were on a team that you had assembled over the years. This is not a lead that the West Des Moines Police Department felt was important to follow up on.
They didn't know about it.
Okay.
But in terms of, they never actually talked to Paul Benassi.
Mm-mm, ever.
You know, no law enforcement discussed it with him, which was one of the things that kind of comes out in the movie. And it's hard for anybody watching the movie to fathom it. And it's hard for us to fathom it. And they just said he wasn't credible, so that they didn't want to talk to him. But it was a difficult thing when Noreen says everything matches up with what we know. It's just an interesting situation.
And Noreen, I want to go back to the early 1980s. As you were putting the pieces of this puzzle together and you came to believe that your son had been abducted by a pedophile or a pedophile ring, whatever happened, you started speaking out and trying to educate other people, warning other people of the dangers to their children. Of course, Eugene Martin was abducted 2 years after Johnny was, also another paper boy in Des Moines. And in the film, in the documentary, you say that people didn't even know the word pedophile back in 1984. Was this a new idea to a lot of people?
That is very true. The word pedophile was not commonly used in the news media. Any form of explanation when a child was missing. And so the term pedophile became part of our normal usage of language now. And when I began speaking out, I was also working with some people with CBS and ABC that were involved in studying pedophile activity as well as organized child abductions.
Human
where they were selling the children.
Right.
And so I had facts coming straight from attorneys that I worked with along with my private investigators. And I was asked to go on the road and speak out on this, and they told me they would supply me with the information I needed. This was 25 to 30 years before they gave it the name human trafficking. And it was more or less in its infancy in the Midwest at that time. And then later, nowadays, human trafficking is on the tip of everyone's tongue. There isn't any place in our country where it does not exist. And it got and gained its foothold slowly because people didn't recognize what it was. Few of us ever expected something like this, living our lives in a small community. This just didn't happen. So there was a naivete early in the 80s, and then things changed, and now we know what it is.
I'm talking with Noreen Gosch. She is the subject of the new documentary, Who Took Johnny? She is, of course, Johnny Gosch's mother. Filmmaker Michael Galinsky is also with us. And Noreen, I want to play a clip from the film. You talk about the evidence that you were able to gather. Paul Benassi coming forward with his story in 1990. And although law enforcement didn't take an interest in his story, other people did. And you were featured, this story was featured on an episode of America's Most Wanted in 1992. And Paul Sparrow was the executive producer of America's Most Wanted in the 90s. And he is a part of this film. And I want to play a little bit of what he had to say.
And so that there was this sense that we're really close, you know, something is going on here. But every time we found a clue, we ran into a brick wall. The owner of the house, which had been abandoned, was a former prison guard who disappeared. You know, the people who had composite drawings never became real people. We never had names. We never could go after them as individuals. We couldn't expose them and get them brought in for questioning. There's the things you think are true. There's the things you know are true, and then there are the things you can prove in court. And the only thing that matters is what can you prove in court. And we didn't have anything that we could prove in court. The Johnny Gosch case has haunted me, you know, in a way that nothing else that I encountered on America's Most Wanted has. And we encountered horrific crimes. If America's Most Wanted, with all of our resources, couldn't solve this case, then chances are no one would. And as I looked around, no one else was trying to solve the case.
That's a moment from the new documentary, Who Took Johnny? And Noreen, all of the things that Paul Sparrow was saying there, I think that all of those things have made it very hard for the public to believe this story. I mean, all of this evidence that's presented in the documentary is incredibly compelling. The evidence that you've presented over the years is incredibly compelling. But there hasn't been a way to prove it. Why do you think it's been impossible to really put those pieces of the puzzle together?
The morning Johnny was kidnapped, despite the fact that we had five witnesses, the police chief called Johnny a runaway. When a child is classified as a runaway, nobody looks for them, or they didn't back in the 80s. I called the FBI. They came to my home, and the first words out of their mouth were, "We are not going to enter the case because the police chief does not want us or want our help." And I said, "Well, kidnapping is a federal crime, and there are five witnesses." It didn't matter. They weren't going to enter the case. That night, September 5th, late in the day, the West Des Moines police chief called the Des Moines department and said, "Do you have anybody over there that can enter a missing person into the NCIC computer?" And then he went over to the Des Moines police department, and a woman that worked there was forced to enter my son as a runaway into the computer. And she spoke up and said, "No, the boy is not a runaway. There were five witnesses, including one attorney in West Des Moines." And she was still forced to enter him as a runaway. And then a number of years later, after she was no longer working for the police department, she contacted us, gave us all the information, which was corroborated by a second person. That was the beginning of the cover-up on Johnny's case. There's so much more involved in this case that supports exactly what I'm saying. The movie gives a timeline of the 30 years of all of these things that took place, the differing opinions. And then the viewer can assess it, think about it, and decide for themselves who took Johnny. They did an excellent job in collecting all this information, old footage, current interviews, to bring out the essence of what this story is.
What do you hope will happen because of this film? You've told your story in so many ways for so many years. You've worked very hard to keep this case active and high profile. You also, in the movie, we see you giving advice to the family of Elizabeth Collins, who was abducted in Evansdale, Iowa. And you say, take every offer you can to be on television because you want people to remember this. You want to be out there as much as possible. And you have done that, Noreen, for 32 years. This film gives you a chance to really tell your side of the story. What do you hope will happen? What are your hopes?
Increased awareness to what is going on in our country concerning the safety of children, number one. Number two, give hope for families who are still looking for a child. What I did was also write legislation, many pieces of legislation which became law on the state levels and federal. And that changed the face of missing children in the country. I worked alongside John Walsh and some of the other families that were affected by this, who were also told, we won't enter your case. And we just all banded together and said, enough is enough. There has to be a change. There has to be an agency that will investigate these cases because our children were taken. And so with the group of families that were involved, we testified before the Justice Department. We testified before Senate hearings to get these changes done in America, or they would not look for missing children in the manner that they do now if we had not done this. We pioneered it. And I'm not the only one. I worked with a group of families who are all in the same position without our children.
So you're hoping that this will go even farther?
I beg your pardon?
You're hoping that this will go even farther and raise more awareness?
Well, yes, because eventually those of us that started all of this won't be around anymore. But will kidnappings stop? No.
Noreen Gosch.
So there has to be people that will carry on.
We are out of time, but thank you so much for talking with me today. Noreen Gosch, mother of Johnny Gosch, an activist and also one of the subjects of the new documentary, Who Took Johnny? Filmmaker Michael Galinsky, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And just to clarify, it's actually the theatrical premiere of the film. It's happening in
right.
Des Moines.
On April 24th in Des Moines at the Fleur Theater, and that will be for a week-long run. There'll also be a showing at Film Scene in Iowa City Tuesday, April 28th, and Saturday, May 2nd. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.